Hi, Leon. It's Debbie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I have to congratulate you, Leon, on Shadow Force. I love this film. Number one, I will see anything and everything that Joe does. I have known Joe for many years, and we'll go a few years and not see each other or something, and I've just been waiting. After Cop Shop, been waiting for this. This is a film that is it's such a Joe Carnahan film in terms of action, but also the story. Your story is so good, Leon. And, you know, what really sells it is, number one, I love the dynamic between Isaac and Kai, the father-son dynamic. It carries this film. And the relationship that you have built on the page for Omar and Jaleel to bring to life on screen is fantastic. We don't often see father-son stories like this told. We will see, be it in the white community, the black community, the Hispanic community, there's always a lot of turmoil and anger and angst. All we have here is a loving father and son, and I so appreciate it, and it is the heart of this film. So well done, Leon.
Thank you. Yeah, that was very intentional on my part. In the media, a lot of times it's an absent black father, so I wanted to do the most extreme version of a present black father where not only is he there, but he's also willing to do whatever it takes to protect his son as well.
Where did the idea for this story arise?
I think in general, my parents divorced when I was younger, and the way that I would come to spend time with my dad was going to see movies on the weekends, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, that would be an action movie. And I think because of that, I have an emotional connection to the genre that when I write, it not only lends me to write action, but it also lends me to also add that emotion that I feel as well, which a lot of times is missing from action movies. And so I think, you know, it was a write the movie you want to see. Off the heels of Black Panther, I was feeling empowered that if I wrote it, that it could actually, you know, sell and get made. And yeah, I wanted to, like I said, have the present black father. The character of Kyra is inspired by my mom. She's a working mom who's done, you know, whatever it takes to look out for us and mm-hmm. take care of us. And like again, the love story component was important to me as well. My favorite movie is The Matrix, and I feel like a part of that movie that's not talked about a lot is the love story. But it's one of the best things about it to me. So it was just all of that went into to writing this.
You pick a lot of exotic locations. We have them traveling, which of course then the locations that Joe went out on with his location scouts to find are just fantastic and beautiful. Did you write in this exotic travel into the script, or was that developed when you and Joe started partnering up on this?
Yeah, that came in after Joe got involved with the project, as well as Omar's involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Omar really opened it up internationally, and that's when the idea came to, you know, have his character, not try to Americanize them, have them continue to be French and, you know, speaking French here and there, and have the unit they were part of have been a global unit. And yeah, I think as far as like practically the incentives in Colombia were beneficial, which is, you know, it's interesting timing given all this tariff talk at the moment.
Yeah. Did you get to go on location while they were filming?
I didn't, unfortunately.
You didn't? You got to have this written into your contracts in the future that you get to go.
I know, absolutely.
Especially.
initially, it was going to be in Atlanta, which would have been an easy trip. But when it shifted to Colombia, it got a little more difficult. But you are correct. It will be in all future contracts.
there's just something so unjust that the cast and the crew get to go, and this is your brainchild, and you did not get to go and take advantage and rack up some frequent flyer miles. You've got to work on that, Leon. That's the best tip I can give you.
yeah, you're 100% correct. That was a cool part of the premiere, though. People being excited to see me because they hadn't got a chance to meet me yet. Some of the actors. So
now,
you're right.
Now, did you get to meet Omar, because he was so instrumental in opening this up on a global platform? Did you get to meet him before shooting started, while you and Joe were still fooling around with the script?
I didn't. No, I didn't personally. I met him at the premiere last week. He was, extremely nice. As nice as you would hope him to be in real life, based on the characters that he plays and the warmth that he brings. But yeah, I got a nice, cool video of us doing like interviews at the same time on the red carpet, which was cool.
Yeah, I've interviewed Omar before, and he truly is so kind and so nice. And so he's perfectly cast in this film, in this role of Isaac. Is he what you imagined when you wrote this character?
I mean, initially, Sterling K. Brown was attached to star. And when that was the case, I would kind of pitch the character as like Randall from This Is Us meets John Wick. It was like the elevator, quick elevator pitch way to get the character across. But at the time, I hadn't even seen Lupin, which made me a really big fan of Omar. And when the switch happened, I was very excited because obviously that show was a huge hit. And you could just see the charisma and his ability to carry a project. So, yeah.
By any chance, have you seen Omar in his film, The Intouchables?
I have yet to see that.
Oh, my
God. I know that's the one he won the award for.
That was my first experience with seeing Omar. And I have been a fan of his ever since. Just spectacular. Spectacular. And to see him now in Shadow Force is just, it brings it almost full circle to see his growth and to have him step into a character like this that you have created. And I don't think he would have tackled the role if he didn't like what you had on the page.
Yeah, he spoke about how the father-son dynamic really spoke to him because he's a father himself. And, he's had an interesting journey. I saw an interview that he used to be a stand-up comic also, so he's kind of like, he's done a little bit of everything.
You know, you got to pay the bills sometimes.
I definitely get it.
Now, I'm curious about the character of Jack Cinder. I think Mark Strong embraces it brilliantly, because Mark's one of those guys that can play both sides of the coin. He can be good, he can be bad, he can be somewhere in the middle. So he's perfectly cast. But how did you go about, what was your inspiration in creating Jack Cinder?
So initially, my kind of point of view on the villain was someone who was more behind the scenes and kind of pulling the strings in the way that a government official would, without trying to be front and center. And it was Joe who kind of had the idea, which was a learning experience for me, to characterize him more such that an actor like Mark Strong would want to play the character, if that makes sense. So heighten it a little bit beyond where it was in a grounded sense, so that it was something that we could attach, another big name actor to. A lot of my learning experience in working with Joe is just, the studios are super fearful to greenlight anything, and if you can add these little things to add even bigger actors beyond just the two leads, then it just gets you closer and closer to actually get to go to production, which we, which we did.
Well, I know that you have been mentored by Reggie, who is an absolute doll. So, so to now hang in there with Joe and his years of experience, you're getting the best of both worlds here, Leon.
Yeah, I feel extremely lucky. you know, it was like a bittersweet moment when I'm told that, you know, we're going to bring on an additional writer. And then I find out it's Joe, and then I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Because I was already a fan of his work. And
he's going to be directing.
What'd you say?
And he's going to be directing it as well, so.
Yeah. Initially, he was only writing, and then Victoria Mahoney was directing. And then once she fell off, he was also directing. But it just worked out perfectly. Like, you hear about the nightmare scenarios of, like, 5, 6, 7 writers coming on to studio projects. And me and Joe just really vibed well on the page. And so it ended up just being me and him. But, I was already a fan of his work. So, yeah, it was exciting.
Now, you mentioned something very important, a lesson that Joe taught you about what you can do to get more eyes and hopefully get a script made. And one of those are characters and actors in supporting roles. And here, I have to tell you, number one, again, Divine Joy Randolph is perfectly cast as Auntie, but she is such... Talk to me about how you created her, because I'm watching it, and I have known many, many, many women in my life, black women, white women, older women, and they all, from the South, they all have these great maternal characteristics, and they don't take guff from anybody, let alone their husband. And she is so beautifully characterized and drawn. So I'm curious about your inspiration for a character like Auntie and also as Unc, because they do play, they're an integral part of this story, particularly Auntie. But here again, you're rooting us in that loving world. And I like how you keep that thread going, extending beyond a father and son and bringing in the, maybe not blood relations, but they're still aunt and uncle.
Character specifically for her. And for me, you know, I was born and raised in Little Rock, Arkansas, so it's an easy characterization for me to visualize, because, yeah, like you said, I've grown up with women just like her throughout my lifetime. And yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of the women have commented already on, you know, the eye candiness of Method Man just in general. So that's always a plus, but I think he's bringing back like those comedic chops, like from way back from the How High days. I think he has recently played a lot of serious stuff, but he's very funny in this.
And that's one of the great things that you've done, is you give us some light, funny moments in Shadow Force. Within the dialogue, there's some very funny, they're cute, funny moments between Isaac and Kai. And, of course, the whole thing with Kai and his singing in the car, no matter who's in the car and he wants music, and then when he's pantomiming, you know, Lionel Richie, is hilarious. Hilarious.
The funny thing about it is that when I sold this script, I had 0 kids. And now, at the time of release, I have 3. And my eldest is 5, and he acts just like Kai. That's in the movie, with the singing and the spelling words and like just being like so smart that it's hard to get anything by him. And it's just really crazy that you know, Joe and directing it already had kids, so that speaks to how he was able to bring such a performance out of DeLeo, who's a superstar. But yeah, it's just really crazy to watch it and then literally have my son be very similar.
Okay, well, to have a kid like this written like this, I have to wonder, were you like Kai when you were a child?
Yeah. I mean, that's all I had to go off of, was my childhood. And that's one of the things you learn about parenting is having to deal with yourself. So, that's exactly, you know, what it was for me. And I think subconsciously a part of writing the script was about my fear of having kids. You know, it's a world in which it feels like so much dangerous things are happening. Yeah. You know, it's like, how do you protect them? And I think getting it out on the page helped Chloe because we had him the next year. So, yeah, that's why you have parents under attack in a literal sense, because that's what it can feel like as a parent in this crazy world.
So you've got parents under attack, literally and figuratively. So you've got the kids coming at you on the one end, and then you have actual terrorists coming at you on the other end. You know, this was was a no-win situation for Isaac. No-win situation for Isaac and for Kira. What is it about writing and that kept you plugging away at it until you got, you know, Shadow Force made? Because it is your first feature to be produced. And I know you don't just sit down, knock out a script, and all of a sudden everybody's like, okay, yeah, here's $5 million, we're going to make it. Doesn't happen that way. So I'm curious, what is it about writing for you personally that kept you plugging away to get this, to finally get your first one made?
Yeah, it definitely is not an overnight thing. This was my seventh script, and it was 7 years into my journey of trying to become a professional screenwriter. So that was, you know, six for free before one finally sold. And I think, I mean, I just, the storytelling part of it is just, it's just in me. I remember moments as a kid watching, like, the live-action version of Hercules, the TV show, and then running to my computer and writing my own episode. It's just something about storytelling that I love, that I, despite the fact of rejection and things not moving forward on other scripts, that I dust myself off and try it again, because I just... It brings me joy to do it. And so whether I get money for it or not, it's something I have to do at this point. So yeah, I think that was a big part of it. Like I just have a deep, deep passion for it, that even if things aren't working out, I'm going to have to write a new story anyway, because these characters come to me, these stories come to me, and I kind of like, I have to get the story out on paper. It would be more torturous to just sit on it.
Is there anything that particularly inspires you? I always think of an episode of Murder, She Wrote with Angela Lansbury, and somebody asks her at a dinner party, you know, where do you get your ideas for characters and for storylines? And she very nonchalantly says, just sitting around a table listening to all of you talk. I think that really sums up a writer. But I'm curious, where is your inspiration? Where do you come up with these characters, especially all the bad guys you have in Shadow Force?
I feel like so much of it is subconscious. You know, up front, it's just like, you know, write an action movie with a love story and these people are coming after them. But it's only in hindsight, you know, with 20/20 vision, that you can realize, you know, some of the things that I've already mentioned about my dad and my mom. And I think being a part of a unit and leaving and then have them come after you is like a metaphor for, like, you know, being friends with someone and then you grow out of it and no longer want to do certain things, and that causes tension in the relationship. They don't understand, you know, things like that, which is, I feel, is universal. So, yeah, it's just, a lot of times I only realize after the fact where it was coming from. But that's the beauty of writing, that it can be therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. With all the bad guys and the weaponry and armament and everything that's happening in terms of the attacks on Isaac and Kira and Kai, did you write all of that? Was that all written into the script? Or did things like that start into your script? Or did Joe start bringing some of that in to expand on the action ideas? Or did you have the basics of that already written?
Oh, yeah, no, all the weaponry and elements were already in there. I wanted to try to be as specific as possible with the names of them as well, just to have it feel more grounded. I think a big jump from this not being sold to being sold was originally I kept getting a note that it had too much mythology, and making it the Shadow Force that it is, I made it very, very grounded. And so a part of that was, you know, specifically naming the weaponry and things like that. And then he obviously has even more knowledge as well. So yeah, he only added
Yeah, Joe and Armament kind of goes hand in hand.
Right, exactly.
But now, who came up with the cool who came up with the cool car?
The scene with the car where she's saying all the specific things about the car.
Yes.
That was Joe. That was, you know, that was his literal experience.
That's a cool car. I love the trunk compartment. You can just shove the kid in there, buckle him in, and he's safe.
Yeah. Custom built.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. On a Joe Carnahan film, not surprised. So, do you have a favorite aspect beyond the father and son relationship? Which, as I said, it's the heart of this film, and it is exquisite. But do you have a favorite aspect of this script, of this film, that speaks the loudest to you?
Yeah, I would definitely say the character of Kyra and her being inspired by my mom. A part of the tension in being a working mom is that, you know, you're doing it to help provide, but it also means you can't be at every basketball game and things like that. And that's kind of what's at the heart of Kyra's conflict, is that she's doing what she's doing to protect them, but it means she has to be absent and away from her son. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think my favorite moment for sure is when they reconnect. And I love seeing that with audiences and hearing them like gasp and weep a little bit. But it's just a beautiful thing. But I think it is so emotional because that reality is whether there's action involved or not, the reality of trying to do everything you can for your kids and that leading to you not being able to be around as often as you would like to be. It's just real tension there.
Yeah, and I have to say that is one of the most, as soon as you started talking about the reunification between Kyra and Kai, that is when she's worried that he isn't going to remember who she is. And
yeah.
I think that has to be every parent's biggest fear. You know, you take a look at Double Jeopardy, the Ashley Judd version. She hasn't seen her son in 7 years, and she's afraid that he will, when she finally sees him, he won't remember her. And he does, with a simple hand on the cheek. And we see that here. And that is just, there's nothing like that. And you really broke that down so beautifully, Leon, with this script. You have filled this film with heart. And you don't normally see that in action films. Not like this.
That's what I hope to bring to the genre. You know, there's so much when you're trying to become a professional of what's going to make you unique and what your voice is. And for me, it was, a part of it was definitely adding heart to mm-hmm. action movies and making them more character-driven so that when the action set pieces happen, you care about what's actually happening to the characters.
Yeah.
Versus just the spectacle of the action, but like deep down, you actually care about what's going to happen to them because of the heart and emotional moments that you've seen them go through.
I'll admit, as I'm watching it and then the car gets blown up, and this is not a big spoiler because even in the trailers, you know, they survive the car blowing up, but I'm watching this, the car blows up, rolls, goes into a lake, and all I kept thinking of was, did little Kai make it out? I wasn't as concerned for Isaac and Kyra. Here I was concerned for Kai, because he's buckled in that trunk, and you care. You already are so invested in that character, and in that family unit. So you have done such an amazing job, Leon. Will you keep writing in the action genre and add heart to that? Or will you write more dramatically for the characters and then just punctuate that with action?
Oh, no. Action is, like I said, action is deep down in my bones. There's no getting away from that.
Are you working on anything new now? Are you just waiting to see how Shadow Forest does? And then you'll dust off some of your old ones, maybe spruce them up a bit, and go, here, see? I got one done. Here's a second one for you.
No, I'm always writing. Like I said, I can't stop, so there's stuff that I'm working on, but yeah, I guess it hasn't been announced yet, so I can't.
You cannot say it. Do not say it. Don't ever do that.
right, exactly. But yeah, more action, more heart. People use the term elevated. So yeah, more of that, but just in different ways.
I love what you have done with Shadow Force. This is beyond a calling card for you. It's that good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So. I, for one, cannot wait to see what you bring me next. And I hope I get to talk to you again in the future because I think you're fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you so much. It's interesting. I think it was, I'm trying to look real quick so I don't mess it up, but, yes, Tony Gilroy. Who's one of my favorite writers, he wrote Cutting Edge, which was a figure skating movie, and then he went on to do, the Bourne movies,
mm-hmm.
And similarly, my first ever professional writing job was on a show called Spinning Out, which is about figure skating,
mm-hmm.
and now Shadow Horse, which is kind of in that same vein as the Bourne movies. So if I can just continue out a career in the way that he has, doing Andor now, which is amazing, I definitely would be happy.
The handwriting is there, Leon. I see no reason why you will not move forward in that trajectory.
Thank you.
Oh, Leon, this has been an absolute joy to get to speak with you again. And I can't wait until we do it again in the future. Yes, you put it out there in the universe and will it to happen. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk to me about Shadow Force. And as I said, I cannot wait to talk to you again in the future about more projects.
Yes, I can't wait either.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.